Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read to you tonight verse 29 down through verse 31. These are the words of our Savior Himself, the one who has Himself said back in verse 21 that there's a great tribulation that's coming on the world. In verse 29, Jesus said, immediately, listen to this, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, pause there for just a moment and ask yourself the question. The tribulation of those days, immediately after the tribulation of those days. What days is Christ talking about? He is obviously talking about the days of the great tribulation that He spoke of in Matthew 24:21. He said, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they that see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Look up here just a minute. Who do you believe is the truest preacher that ever lived? Guys that preach pre-trib or amillennialism or pre-wrath, or Jesus, the Son of the living God? I don't believe there's a person that can speak more truth than God's own Son, Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus that said there's a great tribulation coming in Matthew 24:21. And it's Jesus who said in Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, some cataclysmic things are going to happen in the sky. The sun, the moon, and the stars are going to be affected. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said Himself in the Word of God. And this is an indicator tonight, beloved, that He's coming after the great tribulation. But remember, the great tribulation is not going to be that long. Because for the elect's sake, He said in verse 22, and you and I are the elect. We're the elect church. We're the elect lady that John wrote about. We are elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And praise God tonight, we've been brought into the family of God by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has promised us tonight that we will not have to go through that difficulty of the whole period of tribulation, because He's going to shorten those days and He's going to come back and rapture the church away. That's His second coming. And listen to me. It's not going to be a secret rapture. When Jesus returns to this earth, there will be the sound of a great trumpet, He said. Did you read that in verse 31? Then shall they see the Son of Man coming with the sound of a great trumpet. That trumpet's going to be heard all over the world. And the Bible says that every eye shall see Him and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there's some other remarkable things that's going to happen. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But let me begin tonight by telling you that the day of the Lord is a term that is referred to repeatedly in the Old Testament and the New Testaments. In Joel chapter 1, verse 15, here's what it says. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty, Joel said, shall it come. I want you to go over to Joel chapter 2 with me, and let me read to you some more about what Joel said concerning the day of the Lord. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and verse number 2, he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains a great people, and a strong there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Look at verse 10 of Joel chapter 2. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. One of the things that you need to pay attention to when you see the day of the Lord phrase is that always associated with that phrase, which means the coming of Jesus, that there's cataclysmic or cosmic disturbances that happens in the clouds. The sun, the moon, and the stars, Joel talks about them. What was it that Jesus said in the text I read to you tonight? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall, the Bible says, the Son of Man shall come. And when He comes, the sun shall be black as sackcloth of hair. The moon shall turn to blood. And the stars shall fall from the heavens. And then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in power and great glory with the sound of a great trumpet. And that's what Joel just told us. Blow the trumpet in Zion and let them know the day of the Lord has come. And look, if you will, at verse 31 of Joel chapter number 2. In Joel 2:31, he said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. Look over at Joel chapter 3 and find verse 14 through 16. In verse 14, he said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Notice verse 15. We've heard the day of the Lord now. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Folks, listen tonight. What Joel is talking about there is the return of the Lord Jesus Himself. And I read for my text premise tonight the very words of Christ Himself, who promised that He's coming back after the tribulation. It's a no-brainer for me. I don't have to listen to some pre-trib theologist tell me that Jesus is going to rapture the church before there's a seven-year tribulation. He can't prove that scripturally. Because Jesus said He's coming after the tribulation. And I'm going to take the word of Jesus over any theologian. And the scripture clearly tells us in the book of Revelation and chapter number 6 that he comes back at the opening of the sixth seal. Because when the sixth seal is open, the sun turns black as sackcloth. The moon turns to blood. The stars of the heavens begin to fall. And the scripture tells us there at the opening of the sixth seal, the heavens roll apart like a scroll when it's rolled together. And then the rich men and the free men and the bond men, they begin to run to the rocks and to the mountains and to the dens and to the caves. And they cry out, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. And listen to this. And from His wrath to come. The reason that Jesus is coming here is first to rapture His church out of the great tribulation period. And take them out of here, because at the same day that Jesus takes us out of here, He's going to begin pouring out His wrath. And we're not appointed to wrath, and therefore we're going out of here. Hallelujah. How do you know that, preacher? We'll go over and study what Jesus said about Noah. The same day that Noah entered into the ark and God shut him in, God opened the heavens the same day. And began to rain upon the earth. In other words, the same day God took Noah and put him in a place of safety, God sent judgment upon the land. He also said, go and consider Lot. The same day God took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, He rained fire and brimstone the same day upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And the same day that Jesus comes in the second coming, which is the day of the Lord, to rapture His church up out of this tribulation period, and we're caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That same day, God's going to open the seventh seal, and God's going to visit His wrath upon the nations of this earth. And we're going to be gone. Are you glad about that? Y'all don't act like it. You know what you're trying to do is you're trying to sit here and say, I'm trying to grasp all this and take it in because I ain't never heard that before. Read your Bible. Don't read some popular theologian. Read your Bible. Make your Bible say it. Make your Bible prove what some theologian has taught you. Make your Bible prove, either prove or disprove what you've always believed all your life. Don't be caught unaware. Don't be caught in a moment of time when you don't understand why did I not listen to what the Word of God said and find out about these things. That's why Paul wrote when he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2, you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. But he said that day shall not take you by surprise because you're the children of light and you're the children of the day. Oh, preacher, you're getting too excited. I'm excited because I understand that I'm going out of here. And I'm not going to have to tolerate and put up with all of the tribulation that is coming upon the world. So Jesus said that tribulation was a time that the world had never known to that time or ever would ever know. People will be persecuted and martyred that will not worship the Antichrist nor receive His mark. And read that in Revelation chapter 13. But it's a time that Jesus said also that He's going to shorten those days. And when He opens the six seals, you see the cosmic disturbances that we read about in the book of Joel, as well as in the book of Matthew's Gospel in the text that I read tonight. And every passage that is associated with the term, the day of the Lord. You need to get it in your mind. The day of the Lord, that's the return of Jesus. The day of the Lord, that's the return of Jesus. The day of the Lord, that's the return of Jesus. If I can tonight, I'm a trumpeter. I'm trumpeting for the Lord tonight. I'm sending out a signal and a sound tonight that the Bible says the day of the Lord is the day that Jesus Christ returns to this earth. I believe He's coming, church. And I believe He's coming just like He said in the clouds that He went away with, and He went away with a shout, and He's coming back with a shout, and He's also going to have a sound of a trumpet when He returns to this earth. No secret rapture. I already told you that when Jesus said two will be in the field, one taken, the other left, two in a bed, one taken, the other left, they try to make that's the secret rapture. That's the only verse of Scripture they premise that on, because there's nothing else in the Word of God that ever supports such a thing. The reason Jesus said that is because there's a great day of separation coming. A separation from our unsaved children. A separation from our unsaved fathers and mothers. A separation from the lost and the unsaved of this world. It could be two men working out in a field, one of them to be saved and the other not. And the Lord comes and the saved man's leaving here, but the unsaved man is not. It could be two brothers or two sisters laying in the same bed in the middle of the night sleeping, and the Lord returns on the day of the Lord and the trump of God sounds. One of them may be saved and the other is not. The one saved is going out, and the one that's not is going to stay here. There's a great day coming. We used to sing that song a lot in invitation, and we always sung it relative to the judgment. And the judgment day is a terrible day. But you hear me tonight, I'm going to give you some things about the wrath of God. When the church goes out of here and God begins to open the seventh seal, and God begins to pour His wrath out upon the world, some of your families are going to be here and they're going to go through some of this stuff. When I read it today, I trembled within my body. I thought, dear God, we don't preach enough on the coming wrath of God, because if more men and women understood what the wrath of God was going to be like, brothers and sisters, you hear me tonight, you'd be glad to be made fun of for being a Christian, because you just think the tribulation was horrible. Wait till you hear what the Bible says about the wrath of God. So I hope you got it tonight. The day of the Lord is when the Lord Jesus comes back to rapture the church. It's when He comes back to get all the saints of God. And He's going to take us out in that day. You remember now, He said He will come with the sound of a trumpet. The sound of a great trumpet. Well, let's think about what the Apostle Paul writes about that. Do you remember in the book of 1 Thessalonians? They were concerned about their dead dying and being buried, and they were concerned about this rapture thing, because the Thessalonian letter deals a lot with the rapture. And Paul said to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which sleep in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes back. Do you believe you're saved loved ones tonight that trust in Christ? Do you believe that when Christ comes back, He's going to take them first? Hello, is everybody out there? Do you all know how to say amen? Please respond to the Word of God so I know you're hearing it. Did Jesus say that He's coming back to receive the dead in Christ first? Amen. He said the Lord Himself, He said, will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. We which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord are not going to prevent them that have already fallen asleep in Jesus. But they're first to come up out of the ground. And so on the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes with a shout, descending the heavens Himself, every eye will see Him, they'll hear the sound of the trumpet. And all of a sudden the graves will be bursting open of those that are saved. And they'll be the first that's coming up out of the graves. And the Bible says, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Don't you think that's going to be a wonderful day? Well, I want to tell you, what if this is the last election we ever have? And what if I could tell you tonight, sometimes people can take the Bible and make it say whatever they want it to say. What if I was to tell you tonight, I could prove to you that Trump will be our last president, and then we're going to be raptured. Would that excite you? 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul said, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed at the last trump. Now, I threw that in there to get you to laugh a little bit and relax you. But that ain't got nothing to do with Donald Trump. But I want you to listen carefully. The trumpet is a very important instrument. In Joel's prophecy that I read to you there, God said, blow you the trumpet in Zion. And in Matthew 24:31, He said He's coming with the sound of a great trumpet. The trumpet played a significant role in the religious ritual of Judaism. When the children of Israel was in their wilderness wanderings with Moses, the trumpets were used to call the assembly together. In Israel, they still use the trumpet. Did you know that when the Israeli forces recaptured Jerusalem in June of 1967? That was almost 1,900 years that Israel had not been in their own homeland. The chief rabbi in the city of Jerusalem, when they took it that day, weepingly went out on the hillside and he blew a ram's horn. That's the trumpet they blowed. What was he doing? He was symbolically calling the dispersed Jews, letting them know you can come home. You were dispersed from your land. You were cast out of your land. You've been sent in all the world. 1948, they got their statehood, but they never had peace. In 1967, they had to have the war that they had, and they retook the old city of Jerusalem. And it's theirs till this day. And that old rabbi blew that ram's horn, a symbol that now the Jews can come home. You can reassemble. That was one of the purposes of the horns being blown. Joshua blew the trumpets in conquest of the city of Jericho. The day that they blew the trumpets, they were to shout, and God brought down the walls. The leader named Ehud in the Bible was leading the children of Israel in an attack against the Moabites, and he blew a trumpet. And God remembered them and gave them the victory. When Gideon was going to fight the Midianites, God narrowed his band down to 300 soldiers. And he only put in their hands a trumpet, a pitcher, and a light. And they blew the trumpets. All 300 trumpets blew. And God set ambushments among the Midianites, and they took their own swords and slew one another. There's a reason why that God said, blow the trumpets. He told the children of Israel the trumpets are for a purpose. You can read about them in the book of Numbers chapter 10. He told them make 2 silver trumpets. He said when you blow those trumpets at the same time, that's a symbol and a signal for everyone to gather at the tabernacle. Everybody's to come to the tabernacle when they hear the blowing of the trumpets. If we want to speak to the leadership of the tribes of Israel, only one of the silver trumpets will blow. And the leadership was to come and meet and assemble together. He said, if there is a warning that you need, there's a distinct sound that they blowed, and they knew when those two trumpets blowed, the sound of warning, they knew what it was that they were to give heed to in the sound of the trumpet. Do you remember when Nehemiah was building the wall and they were so scattered out that Nehemiah told them work with one hand and keep a weapon with the other hand, but he had some men there with trumpets. And he said, because we're so far scattered, if our enemy comes in on us when I blow the trumpets, you assemble where we are. The blowing of the trumpets is symbolic to bring the nation of Israel back to the tabernacle. Are you listening to me tonight? One of the reasons the Bible says it's the last trump. It has nothing to do with the last trumpet that will be blown of the seven trumpet judgments. It's the last trumpet that announces that this is the end of the tribulation for the church. It's the last trumpet that men will ever hear on this side of heaven that signifies to them we're fixing to assemble with God in His tabernacle. We're leaving this old tabernacle here and we're going home to tabernacle with God. Lord, I'm about to shout. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful day that's coming. And I wasn't always somebody that could get happy about that because I wasn't always saved. I'm not happy about a tribulation day coming, but I know the grace of God will be sufficient. Amen. And I'm not worried about an Antichrist. I serve a Christ that's greater than the Antichrist. I'm serving a God that's bigger than anyone in this world. It doesn't matter to me what any president of this nation does or what any other leader in any nation does. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What are you going to do, Brother Mike? I'm going to keep on serving Jesus Christ. And I may reach the end of my rope and my day of death will come. And I won't mind that either because I'm not afraid of the grave anymore because Jesus has already been there and cleaned it out. Everywhere He's been, I'm not afraid to go. How about you? Amen. And there's no more sting in death. Because the Bible clearly tells us that Christ said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. And John wrote, or Paul wrote about it when he talked about the rapture of the church, the day of the Lord. He said, I'll show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed to incorruption. Because this mortal man's got to put on immortality. And this corruptible's got to put on incorruption. That when this mortal takes on immortality, and this corruption puts on incorruption, Paul said, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. I hate death because it took my brother when he was a 19-year-old boy. It took my daddy from me. It took my mom from me. Death is because it's the wage of sin. But I'm glad that Jesus went out on Calvary and conquered death and arose showing He has victory over death. And if you don't believe He's got victory over it, wait till He comes and blows that trumpet. Amen. And all the church assembles with Him. Some of you might shout too. You might as well go ahead. The man on the inside standing up, you might as well stand up and shout. Amen. So the sound of the trumpet is one of the things that will signify to the world, and particularly to those that might be still living during the time of the great tribulation, that it's over. And they'll see the Son of Man coming in power and glory. That's what my text said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sign of the Son of Man appear, and they'll see Him coming with power and great glory and with the sound of a great trumpet. And did you hear what He said He'll do then? He'll send His angels and gather together His elect from the four corners of the earth and all the regions. I promise you tonight, if you're saved, you'll not be left behind. Amen. If you've watched that series, you need to read the prelude to that. He clearly tells you that this is fictional, and most of that Left Behind series is unscriptural. But what I'm telling you is scriptural tonight. The day of the Lord is coming, and it's coming after the great tribulation. And it's the day when Jesus Himself will return to this earth. And when He calls His people up and out, the Antichrist will be in power. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he who now lets him do what he's going to do when he comes into his power, which is the Holy Spirit, he will let him do that until he's taken out of the way. And when the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way, God said, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. When Jesus descends the heavens and meets the saints of God in the air, you listen to me tonight, He's going to bind the priest, the beast and the false prophet, and He's going to cast them into the pit of hell where the lake of fire is burning. Then God's going to unveil the seven seals of the seven trumpet judgments. And let me just tell you something. The things about those seven judgments that's coming. When the seven seals is open, the church is gone, because we will not suffer any wrath whatsoever, because it's been promised to us that we're not appointed to wrath. When the first trumpet is sounded, according to Revelation chapter 8, there will be hail and fire mingled with blood that God's going to cast into the earth, and one third of the trees and the grass of the earth is going to be burned up. The second trumpet's going to sound, and God said there will be a great mountain burning with fire. And God said, I'm going to cast that mountain into the sea, and one third of the sea will turn to blood, and one third of the creatures in the sea will die, and one third of the world's ships I will destroy. And the third trumpet will sound, and God said, there will be a great star that will fall upon the rivers and the fountains of water, one third of the rivers and the fountains of water, and that star is called wormwood, and it's bitter, and many men will die because of the bitter waters that they try to drink. Then the fourth trumpet will sound, and one third of the sun's not going to shine, as well as one third of the moon will not shine, and one third of the stars will be darkened in the heavens. That is those that remain that didn't fall at the coming of Christ. And for one third of day and night they shall not shine. And then a messenger of the Lord, an angel, will fly through the air, and he will cry, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth for the remaining trumpets that are coming upon you. Then the fifth trumpet will sound, and the Bible says that an angel descends and opens the bottomless pit of hell. And out of the bottomless pit comes a smoke that arises in the earth and darkens the sun and darkens the air. Locusts will be turned loose upon the earth, and those locusts are like none you've ever seen. You ought to go over and read it. These are not fictional things in the Bible. This is the Word of God. These trumpets that I'm talking to you about were delivered to seven angels, and when each trumpet blows, then God releases a judgment upon the land. Hear me today. Every man that mocks at Jesus will one day be sorry that he ever mocked at Him. Every person that says an ungodly, unrighteous, unholy thing will be sorry they've ever said it. Every person with a sharp tongue who has said, I don't need God. Who is God? I'm not afraid of God. I promise you, if they're not saved and are here in the day of wrath, I promise you they'll never say that again. I'll never say it again, because the wrath of God is so severe that men cannot deal with it. These locusts will have the power of a scorpion. God told them when He releases them, you are not to hurt any green tree or any green grass that's left or any green thing, but only those men who don't have the seal of God in their foreheads. Now listen to me for just a minute. What is that if the church is gone? Who are these that have the seal in their foreheads? Go back to Revelation chapter 6. The last seal that He opens in Revelation chapter 6 is where the sun turns to sackcloth of hair, the moon to blood, the stars fall, heaven's open. They see the Son of Man on the throne. They cry, hide us from Him that sits on the throne and from His wrath to come. Then in between chapter 6 and chapter 8, because chapter 8 is the opening of the seventh seal, where the wrath of God is poured out. But before the Son of Man takes the church out, in chapter 7, you'll read where, down through verse number 6, that an angel of the Lord is sent to set a seal upon 144,000 men from Israel. 12,000 out of every tribe. They're to set a seal upon their foreheads. One of the premillennial doctrines teach that though the church is gone, this 144,000 is evangelists that goes and preaches. That's not so. And your Bible will never prove that, and you can never find that nowhere in the Word of God. But they do have a seal set on their forehead, but nothing is said that they're saved yet. You see, the reason I told you that the Great Tribulation is for Israel is because God's going to bring them through that terrible time. But this seal He sets upon 12,000 from the 12 tribes, which equals 144,000, later is seen in Revelation chapter 14 on the mountain with God, and the Bible refers to them as virgins. And the reference there is that they didn't harlot themselves out unto the ungodly, wicked Antichrist. They wouldn't follow the Antichrist. They wouldn't allow Him to bring them under the authority of the mark. Because they'll finally realize we made a bad agreement when we signed that agreement. God told them, your agreement with death and hell, I'm going to annul it. And I'm not going to let you carry through that. And that's why God's going to allow them to be there. And so when you come here and this group of locusts is out and they've turned loose on the earth, the reason God told those locusts, you cannot hurt the grass nor any green tree nor anything green, and neither can you touch them who have the seal of God in their forehead. That's these 12,000 Jews of each 12 tribes, 144,000. And time won't permit me, and I'm not going to even divulge into it, because all you'll do is you'll get your mind wrapped around that and you won't catch the rest of the message. You'll say, well, we need to get him to stay a few more nights and tell us all about that. But in the end, Israel's going to believe their God when they come through the latter part of that 3.5 days, years of judgment. And when this fifth seal is loosed and this locust is set upon the earth, they're going to go throughout the earth and they're going to kill and they're going to torment for 5 months. That's what your Bible says. And men in them days will seek to die, and death will flee them. Listen, your Bible will indicate to you, when you've studied the context of it, and even if they try to commit suicide, they won't die. There are some things worse than death, folks. There are some things worse than death. And I'm here to tell you right now, the wrath of God is worse than death. When the sixth trumpet sounds, 4 angels will be loose. It's been bound in the Euphrates River. It's a symbolic thing. And what happens there, they've been prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. And you need to understand something tonight. They're being aligned tonight. Iran's one of them. Syria's one of them. Russia's one of them. And all that's going on today among those nations. And Iraq's another one of them. And he tells us that when the sixth trumpet is sounded, the 4 angels that are in the Euphrates River that's been prepared for a day and an hour and a month will be loosed, and a war will start, and 1/3 of men will be killed. And then God's going to send a great earthquake. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, that complies with this sixth trumpet. And in one day, 7,000 men are going to die in that one earthquake. Then God's going to sound, and that's the second woe that comes upon the earth. The first woe was at the locusts, sting of men on the earth for 5 months. Then when God sounds the seventh trumpet, there will be great voices out of heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the Bible says immediately there will be lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes. And then there's going to be a great hail that will start falling from heaven. And then you'll read that suddenly 7 more angels appear in the presence of God. Now listen to me. This is in chapter 15. 7 trumpets were judgment, but that's not the full wrath of God yet. Because in Revelation 15, 7 more angels that have the 7 vials of the wrath of God meets with God in Revelation 15, and they're given the 7 last vials. The 7th trumpet encompasses the 7 last vials. And if you think the 7 trumpets were bad, then go on and read chapter 16, 17, and look at the vials. When God begins to send those angels forth, pouring out those vials, The first vial, there'll be a grievous sword that's on men that have the mark of the beast, and they'll not find a place of comfort to sit in life. In the second vial, the sea will become like blood, and everything in it will die. In the third vial, he's going to pour that on the rivers and the fountains of water and turn into blood, and they're going to cry from heaven, Lord, you're justified and you're holy. They wanted to slaughter the righteous and they wanted to kill the righteous. They were thirsty for blood, and now you've given blood to drink. When the Bible says, whatsoever men sow, they're going to reap. You better think about how you're living. You better think about what you're saying. You better think about what your attitude is about God and about the end of time. Some of you are passing through life nonchalantly and you don't even give a care whether these things are true or not true. And it doesn't matter to you if you're caught or not caught. But I've got news for you. When you don't prepare yourself for something that's coming, that's when people usually get destroyed. If you're going to do your eternal soul that way, then the next time you hear a tornado's coming and you look and see it come, just sit down and watch it take you. And don't do anything to protect yourself. You know you're not going to do that. And the next time you find a lump in one part of your body or another, just say, oh, it don't matter. It's probably cancer. I'll just let it be what it is. You know you're not going to do that. And if you know you would not do that with a tornado or with a cancer cell in your body, you thought there's a chance of saving yourself, you'd do something to fix it. Why, when God tells us that there's a tribulation coming, and after that tribulation, He's coming, and if you're not saved where you're raptured, you're going to be here for the seven trumpet judgments, and when the seventh trumpet sounds, and God pours out the seven vials of His wrath, and you experience all the wrath of God upon your life, why in the world would you ever not want to be saved? Amen. Why would you ever not want to be saved? When the fifth vial is poured out, it's poured out upon the seed of the beast and his kingdom. And it'll be full of darkness. And in those days, men will gnaw their tongues with pain. They'll blaspheme God and they'll curse God. And they will not repent of their sins. When the sixth vial is poured out one more time, God's going to dry the Euphrates River and prepare the kings to come all across that Euphrates. And listen to me. All the nations of the earth are going to join them because we've been allies with Israel. They're coming there to fight Israel. It's what's called the Battle of Armageddon. And God's going to let them cross that dry riverbed, Euphrates, that's in the land of Iraq. Those that have been over there in Desert Storm, been over there in that land, they can tell you that Euphrates River's there. And that river, one day God's going to dry it so all the kings of the east, and we're part of those eastern kings that's coming. And the reason they're going to gather is they're going to the Valley of Megiddo. And Zechariah says in the day when it all culminates in the end and the kingdoms of this Christ becomes, the kings of this world becomes the kingdom of Christ, then the Lord Himself will step out of heaven and He's going to put one foot on the mountain there, and that mountain's going to cleave asunder. And when it cleaves, it's going to separate to the east and the west and move around to the north and the south. And those armies are going to come in that valley. And God Himself is going to fight that battle. And God's going to put down all rule and all authority and all power. And God is going to then take Satan and bind him according to Revelation chapter 20. And God's going to shut him up in the bottomless pit, where he'll be for 1,000 years. And then righteousness and peace and joy will reign over all of the earth, because the Lord Himself is going to rule the earth for 1,000 years. You say, preacher, is that all in Revelation? Every bit of it. Is that really how it's going to happen? I believe if you'll study carefully, you'll have a hard time proving it otherwise. You'll have to lay aside all your preconceived ideas that you've been believing and taught. And I can testify to you that's not easy done. But if you really want the truth, and Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life, and you'll search the Scriptures, He'll give you the truth. And if you want to know the truth so that you can be made free, What is freedom? In knowing the truth, I'm not afraid to face what's coming tomorrow. In knowing the truth, I can face tomorrow because I know Him who knows what tomorrow's bringing. He's the one that gave me exceeding great and precious promises that I might be a partaker of a divine nature and that I can escape all the corruption that's going to be in the world. And when I'm caught up to be with Him in the air, so shall I ever be with the Lord. And wherever the Lord goes, I'm going to be with Him. And I'm going to be well. And you're going to be well too if you're saved and ready to go. But don't deprive the Lord of His privilege of coming to this earth to rule and reign it. Because it's His. He created it. And He has every right to rule over it and to reign over it. Now, I'm not going to go any further on the reigning part because that's my final message tomorrow night, the millennial reign. But in closing, here's what I hope you'll take away from tonight's message. This phrase, the day of the Lord, is the day Christ returns to this earth to rapture His church. He'll rapture us away from the great tribulation that begun in the middle of the 7-year period, but only went a short time because Jesus promised that He would shorten it for the elect's sake. He surely loves us. Yes, He does. And if you don't believe He loves you, sinner, you ought to go over and read the book of Romans chapter 5, where God said that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He went on to say that He died for us that He might save us from wrath to come. God knows what the wrath is going to be like. And God does not want a single one of you to be present in this earth when He pours out His wrath. And I promise you tonight that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll ask Him to save you and to forgive you, I promise you God will save you. And I'll promise you something else. If you'll keep your faith in Him, you'll never see the wrath of God. Because it's not appointed to you. Amen. He'll open the sixth seal and turn the sun black, the moon to blood, let some of the stars fall. He'll open the heavens. He'll descend the earth and He'll call His church out. And the reason Revelation 7, chapter 7, verse 7 through the rest of the chapter is there. Is because John looked and he saw a great multitude of people that was assembled there before chapter 8 where the seventh seal is opened. And he saw a great multitude there of every nation, every kindred, every people, every tongue. And every one of them were arrayed in white robes and they had palms in their hands. They were all standing before the throne of God and they were saying, "Glory and blessing, and honor, and power, and wisdom, and might belongs to You, Jesus." Amen. And one of the elders stepped out of the crowd and said, "Hey, John, who are these that's arrayed in white robes?" John said, "I don't know, sir." And he said, "I'll tell you who they are. These are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb." And the Bible said that God will lead us down to the fountains of living waters where we'll drink and never thirst again. And God's going to wipe every tear from our eye. Amen. And we'll forever be in the presence of God. I wouldn't mind flying away right now.
Amen.
Would you? Let's bow our heads.